Well, bless your hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians 14. On this topic of prayer and in any consideration of prayer, it's imperative that we look at the manifestation of speaking in tongues, praying by the Spirit, or praying in the Holy Ghost. All praying in the Spirit is speaking in tongues, but not all speaking in tongues would necessarily be praying in the Spirit. So you have to separate that. There's other functions for speaking in tongues. Like, for instance, in a meeting like this, we had tongues with interpretation for our exhortation and comfort, bringing forth a message from God. But in our private prayer life, then our speaking in tongues would be praying in tongues, which would be prayer. But in 1 Corinthians 14, I'm in Galatians, so that's not going to help us. That's all right. 1 Corinthians 14, and in verse 4, it says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church." I should be in 1 Corinthians 14, 14. There we go. But that's a beautiful verse too. 14, 14. "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." Praying in the Spirit, again, "my spirit prayeth," that's in reference to speaking in tongues. This is praying by the Spirit. And again, not all speaking in tongues would necessarily be praying by the Spirit. There's other uses. But there is a part in our lives for praying in our understanding, and there's also a part, and definitely we are encouraged on that purpose, but we're also to do both. We're to pray in our understanding, and we're to pray by the Spirit, or speaking in tongues. I want to go to John chapter 7. And in John chapter 7, the reason I want to go to John 7 is because it talks about the Comforter. And the reason I want to show you this, it's so that you get a better understanding of this. In John chapter 7, verse 38, it says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." There's rivers of living water. Now, the word "flow" is the Greek word "rio," which means to speak. It comes from the word, it's actually the word "riusosin," but the simplest form is "rio." The obsolete form is "rio," which means to speak. And it's to speak in a flowing manner. And out of his belly is an indication of the innermost part of someone's being, meaning from the very depth. For us, it would be what Ephesians calls the inner man. "Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water," or out of the inner man he's going to speak, or will flow, or are spoken, rivers of living water. Verse 39, it says, "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." At that time it was not available because Jesus was not yet glorified. But it's speaking by what? It says, "But this he spake of the Spirit." Okay, here we go. Spirit. Speaking in tongues is speaking by the Spirit, or praying in tongues is praying by the Spirit. And I want you to really see that how that connects, so that you're clear on it. You have a great understanding. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, that you and I should receive it for the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified, because it wasn't yet available until the day of Pentecost. But once we have it, then out of our bellies should flow, out of the inner man, we should speak these rivers of living waters. And they refer to speaking by the Spirit, speaking in tongues, praying by the Spirit, praying in tongues. Do you see the connection? Okay. Now, to develop it a little further, we want to look at it in its context in John 14. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that it may abide with you for how long? Forever. So we have within us something that will give us comfort for how long?
Forever.
Isn't that beautiful? Boy, oh boy. It's not going to leave you. That's a comfort. You know, here were these men. They're walking with Jesus. They're seeing Jesus do all of these different things. Do you think it was comforting to them? But now he says, I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. You're going to get another comforter. I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to give you a comforter. I know it's common in our lives to be all shook up, common in our lives to be nervous, common for humans to always be doubt or standing on an edge or on the blade of the razor. But he's given us something that will give us comfort, something that is a comfort to us. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he, or it, may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, or ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be where? In you, God in Christ in you, that Spirit, that wonderful gift of the new birth. You know, we're talking about something that's literally in you. It's not a figurative usage of Spirit, you know, like the team Spirit. We got to get the team Spirit. That's not what it's talking about. Where we get our pom-poms and rah, 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 you know, we get the team Spirit. Or they speak about, well, let's sing some songs so we can get into the spirit of prayer. It's not a figurative thing. It is literally Spirit within you, God in Christ within you. Or you're just starting to get the understanding of what I'm saying. Like, I'm saying this in the spirit of friendship. It is literally in you. It is literally there. It is born within you, the Spirit of God. Verse 17. It dwelleth with you at that time they had Spirit upon, and shall be where?
In you.
Beautiful. Now, praying by the Spirit is designed particularly for your private prayer life. But it has these great benefits. I want you to go to Romans chapter 8, because I want to begin to set for you the truth of the benefits of it. In Romans chapter 8, and we'll start in verse 26. And this is why it's a benefit above praying in our understanding. It is good to pray in our understanding, but this is what gives us the benefit that is beyond praying in our understanding. Verse 26 It says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth with our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered, things that are beyond even our own comprehension or beyond our own compassion. Groanings which cannot be uttered. That's what it's talking about. You know, the needs of humankind exceed the scientific discovery and development. The needs of humankind go far beyond nature's abilities, and it reaches beyond the helping hands of human kindness. There is only so much we can do as humans, but the needs of man so far exceed that. And that's why God gave us his wonderful gift and its ability to reach beyond scientific discovery and development to help man at the very place of his greatest need, to go beyond the abilities of nature and to go beyond the helping hands of human kindness. This groanings which cannot be uttered by speaking by the Spirit, speaking in tongues, gets us beyond our comprehension and gets us beyond even our own compassion. Now it says it's groanings which cannot be uttered. it's difficult to relate would be a term to phrase it. Groanings which cannot be uttered because it's difficult to relate. So a lot of times I get that way with the scriptures. I definitely love God's word. I love the scriptures. I love my Bible. But even the Bible is limited because language is limited. God has to communicate to man in languages man understands, right? So you can read your Bible. He communicates to us in words that man can understand. But the concepts he's telling us about are far beyond man's comprehension. Words are extremely limited. You know, there is no perfect human language. If we took every dictionary that's ever been compiled in the history of the world, of every language, we still wouldn't have the words to express how great God is. You know, we say the love of God. Well, write me down exactly what is the love of God. Write me down the night you got engaged to your future wife. Write me down what you felt. You can approximate it, but you're not going to hit it on the head. You can have a desire, you know, you can emote it, but you're still not going to be able to express it in writing. It falls so far short. I think about it with God, you know, if we took every dictionary that's ever been written, with every definition that's ever been put in, we gave it to our finest poets, our greatest thinkers, nobody, not one of them would be able to sit down and compose how we really are so thankful to God for what he's done through Jesus Christ. There's just things that words will never express. I'm thankful we have words. Otherwise, we'd have no communication. But they still fall far short. And when it comes to the needs of man that surpass scientific discovery and development, that go beyond nature and reach beyond the helping hands of human kindness, what words can you put to express it? Yet the Spirit within us helps that infirmity, because it is perfect prayer to God, and it makes perfect intercession for the saints. Even if you watched what the problem was, you still couldn't express what the problem is, much less express what's needed for the answer. That's this word, groanings which cannot be uttered. It's so far beyond our human comprehension. It's so far beyond our compassion that only God, only the Spirit of God, can give God the complete picture of what needs to be done. That's why it helps with our infirmity. And that's why it makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It is so huge, and what God has given to us is so huge. When I think about praying in tongues, it is so vast. It's hard to express. But the Spirit itself, speaking by the Spirit, I speak, but what I speak is according to God. The Spirit, the Spirit makes intercession for the saints. It says, verse 27, "And he that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because it makes intercession for the saints." How? So any time that I am speaking in tongues, like for instance for Steve, I may not know what his situation is. And even if I did know, I probably could not express it, write it down, send God a message, exactly what needs to be done. But if I speak in tongues, it says it makes intercession for Steve how? According to? Right. So will I get an answer? That's why we should be so absolutely confident. He made it so simple. And I remember years ago we had a prayer room. And, you know, people would write in or phone in or mail in their prayer requests. And I'd love to go into that room because I just sit there. And as I would sit there and I'd look at these things, my mind was, this is in the bag. Oh, great. Good. Oh, that's the problem? It's taken care of. You know, that was my attitude. Why? Because it makes intercession for the saints. How? According to the will of God. Isn't that magnificent? What a wonderful, wonderful way we have to pray. Now, the word intercession, I shared with you, it means to intercede on the behalf of another. But it really, actually, technically means to intercede either for or against. And that makes it even more beautiful, because it's always for us and it's always against the enemy. Always. That is intercession for the saints. When I pray for the saints, I am beseeching on behalf of them and against our enemy. Beautiful. According to the will of God. I may not know, but the Spirit surely does. I may not have found that scripture in my understanding to pray for it in my understanding, but you know what? The Spirit that He's given to me is so perfect that it already knows. And so that prayer is absolutely according to the will of God, absolutely perfectly in alignment with the will of God. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. Is that a comfort? Man, your child is sick, your child is hurt, your child is upset, you want to comfort your child, and you can tell it all of these words in your understanding and approximate what the situation is. But you know, if you just take a few minutes and just sit there and speak in tongues for your child, it is absolutely perfect. Communicate it to God, the answer is right there, and it's according to the will of God. Now look at 1 John 5. Never underestimate. They say don't underestimate the power of prayer, but don't underestimate how great that gift of Holy Spirit is in us and how effective it is. 1 John chapter 5 says, verse 13. Well, let's start with verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God has the witness, where? In himself. You are never empty-handed. You never can go into a situation where you are not prepared spiritually, because the witness is in you. You've got the witness in you. Beautiful. (Clears throat) He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Do you believe on the name of the Son of God?
Yes, sir.
This is written to you and me, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, meaning everything that he accomplished for us. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that we have in God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he what? So if speaking in tongues makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God, you know what? He hears you. You know, I hear people use this expression, from your mouth to God's ear. There it is. You're asking, if you're speaking in tongues, it's according to God's will. And it says, if we ask anything according to God's will, he, from your mouth to God's ear, there it is. Isn't that beautiful, speaking in tongues? What a comfort. Tremendous. Because I know my prayer didn't get lost in the solar system someplace. You know, or you know, it's in cyberspace. It went right to him because he hears us. He told us if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And when I speak in tongues and I make intercession for the saints, I make it how? He heard me. It is foolproof. And that's why even a fool like me can speak in tongues. I can pray for somebody and get an answer to my prayer. Boy, oh boy, what, and that's why it's a comforter. My gosh. Now, that doesn't even stop there. Verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. You can just close the book on whatever the issue was. Close the book, because it's over. He heard you, and if he heard you, you have exactly what you asked for. Close the book. That's why, gosh, we have something so perfect, so beautiful, that when we pray, it is absolutely going to be answered. It's not waiting online. No, he's not waiting for the tube, like at the bank. Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, we out of this? You're going to have to wait. No, we absolutely know. So when you pray for something, what happens for you? It absolutely comes to pass if we ask anything according to the will of God. And if I'm praying in the Spirit, which is making perfect intercession, and it is according to the will of God, and he hears it, and we know if he heard us, we have that which we've asked for. What a comfort it is. That's why never be nervous to go and pray. Never be nervous that somebody's going to ask you for something that you're not going to be able to deliver, or God's not going to be able to deliver. Why? Because it says here, that's why it's such a comfort. We should be so confident in what we have from God, so absolutely sure of what we have from God, because he made it so perfectly beautiful. Do you know he hears the utterance? Well, let's go back to Romans chapter 8. We left off in verse 27, and he that searcheth the heart knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because it makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 28 starts with the word then. Then we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Why? Because the Spirit intercedes on behalf of the saint and against the evil spirit realm, and God heard it. And that which was beyond my comprehension, that which was beyond my vocabulary to describe, it describes it to a T. Not one jot or tittle short of what is necessary for the deliverance or for the healing or for whatever it is that I'm praying for. Because it is perfect prayer. It is perfect intercession. Most of my prayer and my understanding is prayer of thanksgiving. Most of the needs that I pray for, I just pray in tongues because I want to make sure that I'm asking according to the will of God, because if I do, he heard it, and if he heard it, it's done. So that's, when you come to me with a need, I'm going to pray in tongues for you. When I pray in my understanding, 99% of it is, God, thank you. I don't even know how to thank you. As a matter of fact, most of the time I go right to speaking in tongues because it is giving thanks well. I think, God, how in the world can I thank you? What can I say to show how thankful I am? And then I think, could have had a V8. He gave me his gift of Holy Spirit. It's absolutely perfect. It's going to give thanks well. So you know what I do? I just sit there and I speak in tongues. I speak in tongues when I go into a situation to pray for that situation. And I speak in tongues when I leave that situation because it gives thanks well. It is so magnificent. It is the comforter within you, and out of our bellies, out of our inner man, should flow rivers of living water. Should flow that which will bring life to that situation. Should flow that which will bring healing to that situation. Should flow forth that which will bring deliverance to that situation. He did not leave us alone. We have an absolute comforter, and it is not just with us. It is actually in us. Wherever we go, that comforter is there. So if you feel ill at ease in a situation, speak in tongues in your prayer life and realize that comforter is there. Now, if it works as perfect prayer, what do you think it's going to do in other benefits? Meaning the gift of Holy Spirit. What about the other manifestations? Yeah, and they should work so perfectly and so effectually as speaking in tongues does. Now, when you spoke in tongues, did you have a lot of trouble to get to speaking in tongues? Some of you may have had a little opportunity, but then you did it. And the next time, you did it again. And then now you do it just like that, right? If I ask you, speak in tongues, could you just start speaking in tongues? Every other manifestation's got to be just as simple. We've made it into this big thing, word of knowledge and word of wisdom, and then we sit there, was that God, was that my brain? Your brain's not that good. It is so, if any of you, being fathers, and we already said you're not evil, and your child asks for bread, would you give him a stone? Well, it's the same thing. Still talking about the gift of Holy Spirit. Every manifestation has got to be just as simple, including discerning of spirits. Put my tongue in backwards when I got up this morning. Should work as simply and as effectually for you. Just that we get so nervous. We're so afraid of making a mistake that we never get to act. And when you don't act on the word, you don't get understanding. The scriptures tell us in Proverbs, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. But you know what we tend to do? I don't understand this, so I need to study more. And then we'll read the scripture, like in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by? So I need more word of God. No, you need to act on the word of God you know. Then you'll start to understand. Then you can get more learning. But we become these perpetual students, and a student doesn't do anything because he's in the classroom learning. We got to step out of the classroom and start living. The purpose of going to the classroom is to learn how to live, but if you don't walk out of the classroom and start doing it, you know what you got? Nothing. It happens in life. It happens in every category. It's time for spiritual men and women to rise up and utilize this gift for all of its intended purposes that God intended it for, and to get busy. We should be about our Father's business, like Jesus Christ said. You know, first of all, the first step in getting ourselves prepared to be about our Father's business is to build yourself up. How? Spiritually, first of all, right? Spiritually. And Jude 20 tells us. Don't you just love how simple this is? Tells us that it's supposed to be so simple that even a pilgrim, a searcher, a fool, an unlearned one need not err therein. God, if it took degrees in theology for us to really understand God, I would never have a relationship with him. If it took some kind of a brilliant brain, forget about me, run ahead, because I'm only going to hold you back. But God is just so kind, he's so loving, he's so tender, and that's why the intellectuals miss it. It's not tricky enough. It's not hard enough. It's not intellectual enough. But look, it's just simple. It's made for you, his children, to understand it. But the place where we fail to get our understanding is because we don't dare to step out on it, because we're afraid we're going to do something wrong. God's not afraid. He gave it to you. He didn't say, okay, stand up here. Okay, now take one step. Okay, here's the gift of Holy Spirit. You did it. You know, I mean, he gave it to you. He gave you all 9 manifestations. He could have said, well, I already know the future. You're not going to use any of them, so we'll just pass on by. 2 for you? Okay, 2. He gave us all 9 because he trusts us. He believes in us more than you will ever believe in yourself. He doesn't think evil of us. My thoughts are good and not of evil, that you may have an expected end. He has an expectation for your life. He has an expectation of where you can arrive. He has these expectations. What about you? Where was I in Jude 20? Okay, Jude 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, how? Praying in the... You can go through the entire Bible and you will only find one thing that will build up the Spirit, speaking in tongues in your private prayer life. That's the only thing. Ephesians 3. It's a great prayer in Ephesians. In Ephesians 3, verse 14, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you and me, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, where? In the inner man. His desire is, he has completely equipped us for the task. He has set us about in our Father's business. It's God and sons. That's where the world should be looking. God and sons, all of us. And then walk out on what we have and what he has given to us. And when you have stepped out on it, and then you want to understand more, then study more and step out more. study more, step out more. But if you keep yourself in the classroom cloistered away, you're never going to get it. I don't know. It's a simple word. Now, I appreciate research as much as anyone can research the scriptures. I appreciate the words. I appreciate understanding that. But honestly, if it was a matter of your understanding of Hebrew, your understanding of Aramaic, your understanding of Greek, and all of that, then our research departments should be the ministry departments because they know the greatest amount of all the scriptures, and yet you don't find that. You find it in people who will simply take the scripture and just act on it. I'm just going to step out on it. All I see is this person needs deliverance. I know this person needs healing. I really see it. And I would rather be a fool than not try to help that person with what I know. And in every time I have done that, God has never failed me. And one other thing is, I believe God forgives. And that's why I can be effectual minister, because I believe He forgives me. People miss out on my ministry because they haven't forgiven me. Or, you know, whatever they consider is the problems and areas of my life I need to be forgiven for. I know I have taken care of it with the Father, and I know the Father works within me, and I am willing to share His power, His deliverance, His love, His goodness with anybody. The problem comes is people get to a place where they don't forgive, and then they miss out on that ministry, and they miss out on that life. You can talk about laboring for the Lord, but if you ignore the equipment that He's given to us to accomplish, then our labors are going to be difficult and labored themselves. But He has given us everything we need to accomplish the task. It says that He would grant you. It's not a question of whether He would hold back or not. The word grant is actually, both in the Hebrew and in the Greek, was the word used for the sacrifice of a martyr. In other words, like we talk about our military, and we talk about our forefathers in this country, that they died to provide us these freedoms. The work's already been done. It's been granted. Technically, that's what it's saying. The work has been done. Jesus Christ gave His life so that we could have these things. It's not like, you know, you have to stand there and say, can I have that? And they have to look up your records and all of that stuff. No, it's there. It's a freedom that's been provided for you because of others that went before you. It means to hold high in honor. And then the riches is pletho. It's an overflowing, not only to benefit you, but then it benefits others. That's the benefits of it. To be strengthened. And it comes, the word strengthened comes from the word kratos. You know, where at the end there is an impact. It's powerful, it's forceful. And then Christ in you is the inner man. You see, we should be edified. We should build up ourselves on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. I think of George Mueller, who used to say, I walk in the spirit of prayer. And I think, what the heck is that? But to my understanding is, if I'm not speaking in English someplace, I'm speaking in tongues to myself. Because it is such a wonderful, wonderful gift that God has given to us, and it is an absolute assurance of His power, His presence, His deliverance, and His healing resident within us, and the ability to do so for others. You know, it says Daniel was a man of prayer. You and I, as sons of God in our Father's business, should be about our Father's business, bringing deliverance, bringing comfort, and bringing healing. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your graciousness, Your love, Your kindness, Your great goodness to us. And Father, for the joy it is to know that You have given us so much, and the simplicity is we just need to walk out on it. And I thank You, Father, for Your graciousness, Your love, and Your kindness, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, thank you. I just wanted to add one more thing. You know, 1 Samuel, Samuel was never supposed to be a prophet. He didn't come from the correct tribe. He should have been of the tribe of the Levites, and he wasn't. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. And he just never should have been. It should have never got down to that. But I am thankful that Samuel was there. You know, I think about, you know, coming to attrition. Why me? And then it talks about how when God spoke to Samuel, and you know, and he went to Eli, and Eli, he had to send him back a couple of times, and he said, "I didn't call you." And then he realized that it was God speaking to Samuel, and then you know, then Samuel had that conversation with God, and it says the next morning Samuel went and opened the doors of the temple. What a day that must have been. He just walked into the temple, he lit the candle, got the presence of God going again, and just opened the doors. People, come on in. It's light again. It's a time to rejoice. It's not a time to mourn. It's a time for us to go forth. It's a time where God is alive and present and ready for the children of Israel. And it says he opened the doors. I could see just the light going into the temple. I hadn't been in there for such a long time. And, you know, everything was just set right. It kind of reminds me of the first day of spring. My mother used to always open all the windows in the house and, you know, get our cleaning rags, and you know, she put on the radio, and we'd all just be dancing around the house, mopping floors and cleaning all this stuff, because it was, you know, it was a new day. It was a whole new season. It was like life began again. I trust that we open the windows and the doors for you, and that you really see it is a new day and a new life. So.